One of the grandest themes in Christianity is that of faith. We cannot talk about Christianity without talking about faith. Faith in God, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, faith in the Holy Scriptures which He has given unto us. And of all the people in the Bible, there is one person in which we can learn a lot about faith, and that is from Abraham. He is known as the father of faith, as stated in Romans chapter 4. And if you study the book of Hebrews chapter 11, where it is given to us a list of the heroes of faith, you will realize that Abraham is mentioned three times. The faith of Abraham, the faith of Abraham, the faith of Abraham, compared to all the other heroes of faith there. Why? Because this attribute of faith stands out most clearly in the account of Abraham. And he is going to be the example of all that will follow after him. What it means to have faith in God and in the Lord Jesus Christ. But what is faith? Now, some people restate faith in this way, using F-A-I-T-H as an acronym. Forsaking all, I take Him. F, forsake, or forsaking. A, all, well, I is I, and then T is take, H is Him. Forsaking all, I take Him. And of course, when we say, I take Him, the Him there refers to God, refers to the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you say you take God and you take the Lord Jesus Christ, you must also take His word. Taking God at His word. Yes, that is another way of restating what it means by faith. But what does it mean to take God at His word? Well, today in this passage, we shall see two elements of what it means to take God at His word. But firstly, let us have a background of this chapter, Genesis chapter 12. What actually happened before Genesis chapter 12? Right? Well, this book, the book of Genesis, began with a very grand note. Just now we sang the hymn, How Great Thou Art. It talks about God as the Creator, created the heavens and the earth and all that is in the universe. And God also created man. And when God created all these things, God says, it is very good. But Adam was tempted. Adam fell. And because of that, sin entered into the world. And there was also death. And soon, very after the account of the fall, we have Cain and Abel. And then we had the first murder, whereby Cain murdered his brother. But God did not leave us without hope. God did not just leave us to die. But God also gave us a very gracious promise in Genesis chapter 3 verse 15, which is the first gospel, that there will come of the seed of the woman the Messiah, which is Jesus Christ Himself. And really, this book of Genesis, one of the things you can see is this preservation of this godly line of the Messiah. Because after the murder of Abel, Adam and Eve had another son called Seth, and it's through Seth that the godly line will come, the Messiah will come. Well, sadly, Seth was born, but then the world did not get any better. Men grew in their wickedness, and the Bible described their wickedness as something that was very great. That the thoughts and minds and intentions of men were only evil continually. As though only evil is not enough, the Lord added the word continually. Every single thought, every moment of the day is rebellion against God. And the world became so evil, so wicked, that the only way God can prevent men from killing themselves was to refresh the whole world. And so we had the great flood. The whole world was refreshed. It was not a local flood, but it was one that is global. And God preserved 8 souls from mankind. Noah and his family, his 3 sons. And out of these 3 sons, the Bible tells us the godly line will now be passed through one of his sons called Shem. Did the world get any better after that? Well, in Genesis chapter 11, we had the Tower of Babel. The people wanted to gather and to build this tower so high until it reached up the mountain. Reached up into the heavens. And so the Lord had to disperse the people. And everybody began building the Tower of Babel. And then the Lord confused them. All of them were speaking one language before that. But now suddenly everybody spoke different languages. I believe before that they all spoke Hebrew. Then suddenly after that, instead of Hebrew, suddenly one person spoke Hebrew, another person spoke Chinese, another person spoke Indian, another person spoke Swahili, African language, and then nobody was able to understand one another, and then they dispersed. And out of the people that dispersed, God chose one man to continue the line of the Messiah. This one man, Abraham, that time called Abram. And so in verse 27 of chapter 11, we read, "Now these are the generations of Terah. Terah beget Abram, Nahor, and Haran, and Haran beget Lot." Right, so Lot, Abram is the uncle of Lot. Lot is Abram's nephew. And Haran died before his father Terah in the land of his nativity in the Ur of the Chaldees. And Abram and Nahor took them wives. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife Milcah, the son of Haran, the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah and the father of Iscah. But Sarai was barren; she had no child. Right, this issue about being barren will have great issues later on. Right, we will study in later chapters of Genesis, right, about Sarai's barrenness. Then verse 31, "And Terah took Abram his son, and Lot the son of Haran his son's son, and Sarai his daughter-in-law, his son's Abram's wife. And they went forth with them from Ur of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan, and they came unto Haran and dwelt there." So they came to a place called Haran. Out of the Ur of the Chaldees they traveled, they went to this place called Haran, and then they dwelt there. And then days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. Right, so Abram's father Terah died in Haran. And so now we come into verse 1. And here in verse 1, the Lord is going to call Abram, and this promise that the seed of the Messiah will come through Abram will be given to him. And so in verse 1 it reads, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindreds and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee." Now when you read this verse, it seems as though the call was given at Haran. Well, was the call given at Haran? Now turn with me to Acts chapter 7. Now, this is important. Let's turn to Acts chapter 7. Let's take a look at what the book of Acts tells us. This is the sermon that was given by Stephen before he was stoned to death. Right. Acts chapter 7, verses 2 and 3. And this is what Stephen said. "And he said, Men, brethren, and fathers, hearken. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia. Right, so the Ur of the Chaldees was in the area of Mesopotamia, somewhere near the modern Iraq, right, south of Iraq. Before he dwelt in Charan, Charan is Haran, right, in Genesis chapter 12, and said unto him, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and come into the land which I shall show thee. So the call actually came before Abraham dwelt in Haran. The call came to Abraham when he was in the Ur of the Chaldees. So what we read in chapter 12 verse 1 was actually a reiteration, a repeat of what God had actually told Abram when he was in the Ur of the Chaldees. And so the first thing we will realize from this is that when we talk about a man who takes God as his word, the first thing that, first element that he will have is that of reception of God's word. He will receive God's word. And not just receive God's word, but he will receive all of it. And here in verse 1, it says here, now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country. Literally, get thee out of thy land. Get thee out of the Ur of the Chaldees. And what was the Ur of the Chaldees like? Now, according to those archaeologists who managed to dig up this place, they say that the Ur of the Chaldees was at the time one of the most prosperous cities of the world. It can house about 360,000 people. Now, this was about 3,500 years ago. At the time, if you can house a population of 360,000, you are considered a very massive city. And then their walls are so tall, it's about the height of, until this story, a third story, about the height of this church, about three or four stories high. And at the time, you can have three or four stories high with the kind of weapons that were present at the time, you were almost nigh impregnable. You cannot attack that city easily. So it was a very well-fortified city, very well-populated, 360,000 people, and one that was very prosperous. Not only just that, but it was one that was very educated, because when they dig, they found many tablets. Those people apparently had a school, and then the people were having a very well-drilled education system. The streets were nicely paved, and then they had a very elaborate drainage system. So elaborate that the people who, archaeologists who dig that place, they cannot believe it. How can people at that time have such a drainage system? It's even better than in some places of the world today. Is that good? So this was a very comfortable place. This was a very prosperous place. And Abram must have been very comfortable in the era of the Chaldees. And here comes God, and God says, I want you to get you out of this land. Get out. Get out. I want you to get out of this land. Get out from thy kindred. That means away from all your relatives, away from all your friends. And not just that, away from even your father's house, those that are closest to you. Unto a land. So get out of this land and go into another land that I will show thee. But take note, here in Genesis chapter 12, God had not revealed what land is it. Literally, he's just saying, I want you to live from this prosperous place. I want you to get out of here. I want you to get out of your comfortable life, because now I'm calling you. But Lord, where? Later then I'll show you. Later. He didn't tell them which land at all. For example, if now I tell you, I want you to get out of Singapore. I want you to go to USA. Not so bad. You know your destination, USA. USA, quite comfortable, or maybe Australia, quite comfortable. Okay, not so bad. Now, if I'm going to tell you, get thee out from Singapore, and now I want you to go to Timbuktu, or another, or very ulu place somewhere out there in the world. No proper sanitation, no proper food, you are probably going to starve to death. Will you go? Maybe you had some doubts. But imagine if I just tell you, get you out of Singapore. Where? I don't tell you. You just trust me. You just go. Where you go? It's like giving you no insurance policy. No, just get you out. You just trust me. All you do is trust me. But why should I trust you? Abraham did not say that. Why should I trust you? Get you out means get you out. He just received God's command at face value. Get you out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto another land which I show thee. One from one particular land so prosperous unto another land which I will give to you. Just go. Lord, you tell me just go and you expect me to receive? Abraham received. And take note, when this command was given to Abraham, the 66 books of the Bible was not even written. He did not have 66 books of the Bible. He did not even have the complete book of Genesis. Probably only some records from what happened in the past about creation. Just with that few written records, or maybe even oral records. And just by this one command, get thee out of this country. I want you to get out. And you just trust me to show you which land to go. And Abraham went. That is what it means by receiving God's word. He didn't even dispute. He didn't even argue. Get thee out means get thee out. And so he got thee out. Went all the way to Haran. Somehow in Haran, probably because of the death of his father, he may have wanted to stay there for some time. God reiterated his call. I want you to get out. And take note, once he get out of from all the Chaldees, he's going to get out for another 100 years. Because now, Abraham, when he got out, he was 75. By the time he died, he was 175. 100 years out of the Ur of the Chaldees. 100 years of just wandering outside. And he didn't go into any city. There were two times where he failed. He went into a particular city. He wanted to stay there. He got himself into trouble. Well, being a man of faith doesn't mean there won't be times of failure. There won't be times where he failed to exercise his faith. But by and large, Abraham took God at his word. He just received it and then he just followed. Get thee out of thy country. And just imagine, right now God tells you, I want you to get thee out. So and so, now I want you, I'm going to call you into full-time ministry. And then you earn so much. And then you are a grown-up man, you have a family, maybe two or three children to feed, your house, you haven't paid your rent, haven't paid your loan fully. And now the Lord said, I want you to come. I want you to just follow me. Even with something like this, sometimes we falter in our faith, isn't it? Lord, you want me to live and then just depend on you, nobody else, and then with no proper income, and then you expect me to pay the loan from the house? You expect me to feed my children? How can I even support this family? How can I even be a good father? You just want me to go just like this? Precisely the case. Abraham took God's word literally at face value. His command. But not just his command, not just receiving his command, but from verses 2 to 3, we see that he also received the promises. And here in verse 2, it says here, and I will make of thee a great nation. In other words, look, Abraham, now you and Sarai, you are barren. But one day, from all of you, I will make sure from your seed, there will come a great nation. And of course, we know that great nation is none other than Israel itself by later revelation. I will make of thee a great nation. What? Look at me, I am now 75. I am not young anymore. Sarai has been with me, and for so long we have been barren. And then you say, from me, you're going to make a great nation, but I don't even have a child. How can that be? The Abraham question, he didn't. He just trusted God, I will make thee a great nation from which the Messiah will come. And I will bless thee, you will, from your line will come this Messiah, we shall be a blessing to the entire world. I will make thy name great. I will make you, make your name synonymous with that of faith. You will be the father of faith. And not only just that, you shall be a blessing to the people around you. Because from you, the Messiah will come. And when the Messiah comes, the people will be able to find salvation. Salvation will come from you. From your line. What? Ask me to leave this place firstly. You ask me to get thee out. And now you come out with this kind of promises that seem so far-fetched. Not a word was said. And then continue in verse 3. It says here, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Now what does it mean? And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. Now some people say that this one here, verse 3, applies to the nation of Israel. Now is this applied to the nation of Israel? Please take note here of the context. Right here, this promise was given to Abraham. And Abraham, or Abram, was not an Israelite. The term Israelite only came about with the formation of the nation of Israel. So first you have Abram. Abram is not even an Israelite. It was not, at the time there was no Israel. Then after Abram, there was Isaac. After Isaac, then Jacob. Then Jacob was given the name of Israel. And then after that, then we have the children of Israel. And even before they enter into the promised land, they were not called a nation yet. They were not called Israel as a nation. Right? They're not even called Israelites. They're always called children of Israel. Only when they entered into the land, then they were given the term Israelites. Okay, so take note. Abram was not a Jew. Abram was not an Israelite. Abram is the father of the Israelites. So this promise not applied to Israel. This promise applied to Abram. Now, but what about the promise to Israel? Is there a similar promise? Well, if you want to talk about the Lord blessing Israel, blessing those that bless Israel and cursing those who curse Israel, you have to turn to Numbers chapter 24, verse 9. Let's just quickly turn there. Numbers chapter 24, verse 9. And here it says, he couched, he lay down as a lion and as a great lion, who shall stir him? Right, these are the words of Balaam. This is the blessing of Israel. So the word he there refers to Israel. Right, so blessed is he that blesseth thee. So blessed is the one who will bless Israel, and cursed is the one that curseth thee. So if you want to talk about those who bless Israel, God will bless. Those who curse Israel, those will curse. This will be the verse you will go to. Numbers chapter 24, verse 9. But what about Genesis chapter 12, verse 3? What does this mean to Abram? Now, it's very unthinkable that when a person is supposed to be a blessing unto others, that other people will curse him. But sadly, this is the case for Abram and for the seed that will follow after him, the promised seed. And so here, what this verse is really talking about is bring our attention to two classes of people that will exist ever since the time of Abram. One group of people will be the people that will bless Abram, and these will be the believers. One class of people, the believers, and because the believers follow after the footsteps of Abram in terms of faith, they will want to bless Abram. Yes, the faith of Abram, he set for us an example, and it is by this kind of faith whereby I shall be saved. But at the same time, in this world, there will be another group of people which simply will not believe. No matter how the gospel is preached to them, no matter how you talk to them about the truth, they simply will want to rebel against God. And when they rebel against God, surely they will want to rebel against God's servant Abram. And these other people, even though they know Abram will be a blessing unto the nation, they will still want to curse Abram. Away with the salvation of God. I don't need God. I want to rebel against this deity. I only want to serve myself. I only want to believe in myself. I don't want to believe in God. There will be another class of people that will be like that. And God says, those who will bless you, those who will follow after your footsteps of faith, I will bless them. And here when he says, I will bless them, he talks about a blessing that is one that is blessing out of God's own goodwill. He's more than happy to bless them. Those who follow after your footsteps of faith, I am more than happy to bless them. But those that curse you, I will also curse them, more than willing to curse them. Why? Because in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. When they bless you, is it not because of the Messiah that comes through you? And when they curse you, it's also because of the Messiah that will come through you. They just refuse to accept the Messiah. Nevertheless, there will be people who believe. And you will be the source of blessing for all these people that believe. Because you will set the example of faith is also through you in which the Messiah will come. What a wonderful promise. But please bear in mind and remember the conditions in which it's given. Get you out of this country. Asking Abram to abandon everything. Go alone. Wander alone in the wilderness. Nobody to protect except you trust me. And you just trust me to protect you. You trust me to give you everything. And this promise I will apply to you. I will surely give to you. Where's the guarantee? In this world, when people promise you a lot of things, you expect them to write a guarantee, a contract, everything, and then show you a track record or whatever. Just trust me. Abraham went. He received God's word. Every word of it. And how do we know that he received God's word, every word of it? Because when you talk about taking God at his word, it's not just receiving his word, but it's also manifested by an obedience to God's word. And that is verses 4 and 5. He obeyed God's word. For we read in verse 4, so Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. Very important words. As the Lord has spoken. The Lord spoke, he just believed it and he just followed. He just obeyed. Lord, I want to believe you. And remember, this verse was spoken to Abraham when he was at the Ur of the Chaldees. One thing that we also know about the Ur of the Chaldees, based on what was being dug up from the place, it was a place full of idolatry. The highest point of their city was this temple called a ziggurat that reaches all the way unto the sky. And they were worshipping the moon god. All my life, I've been worshipping this moon god. Suddenly, this god appeared out of nowhere. And then say, believe, depart. Abraham obeyed. Abraham followed. Abraham went as the Lord had spoken unto him. And take note, Abraham was not a young man. Abraham was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. At least he was old enough such that later on it was described that he was barren, he was dead. Romans chapter 4. One that was dead in the body, that means unable to give life. An old man departing simply because God said, that is faith. Forsaking all, I take him. And not just, and he really took everything away. He took Sarai, his wife, also out of the land. Lot, his brother's son, this person is one person that tagged along with him. And not just that, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran, that means all his servants, everything. He just uprooted himself. And then he went forth and go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they come. And at the point of time, Canaan was full of powerful nations, powerful kings. And they were evil kings. They often fought among themselves. And here he was, a total stranger, going into their midst. Anything can happen to this old man. And he went. Total obedience, total faithful reception of God's word, total obedience to everything God said. Case in point, this really reminds me of the founding pastor of the BP movement. Most of you know about the controversy, which was that of verbal plenary preservation. People who say that, oh, God's word is not fully preserved in the original language. You have Greek and Hebrew words. Not all of them are preserved. Some words may be lost. And there are people that were propagating this doctrine. Some words may be lost. Now, if some words may be lost in God's word, that means we don't have a perfect Bible today. And people were propagating it, and it come to a point of time whereby he had to take a stand, and because of his stand, they forced him to resign. So what did he do? Resign and do nothing? He could have. He could have. At his old age, he could have. But he still chose, by faith, to start a new congregation. That is True Life PPC. Just imagine someone at his age, so old, so frail. Most people would have chosen to take their retirement. Right now, retirement is at the age of 62, 65. I know they are trying to extend as far as possible and encourage people to work. But most people would have taken the retirement by his age. okay, since don't want me to be pastor anymore, I just sit there, lim kopi, drink coffee, enjoy life, I just sit down, let other people talk, and I just relax all the days of my life until the Lord calls me home. He could have taken that. There's no need for him to go and found another church. And please do not think that a pastor's job is something that is easy. He always had this motto, as a pastor, call me anytime, 24/7. He wrote that in his weekly. Anytime. People call at night, 3 a.m. Please, I have this and this problem. My husband is going to die. Please be prepared to come down to hospital. Oh, sorry, I want to go and sleep. Cannot. He's a pastor and at his old age, 3 a.m. You have to go and attend to such things. People who are depressed and need help, you cannot just turn them away. And on top of it, you still have to prepare his messages. Now when you are younger, you prepare messages, it's easier. You read, your eyes are not dim, easy to write down. At the older age, your eyes are dim and sometimes the mind just does not work. Right? You read a little bit and then you may want to knock off. He still continued. Continued because of the love of the sheep. Continued simply because he cannot accept any lower stand than that of the 100% preserved Bible. Actually, it's quite ironic, right? As Christians, we are supposed to take God at His word. And then here, we have the guts to tell people, look, this Bible that we believe some words are missing, is that called taking God at His word? In the first place, you didn't even receive all of His words. That's not what we learned from Abraham. Abraham received every word of it, and he didn't even have 66 books. And here we are given the privilege of having 66 books, and we say God's word is not perfect. And some even have the guts to go and say, oh, how can we be so proud to believe that a perfect God must give us a perfect Bible? That is not taking God at His word. That is not what Abraham teaches us. And that's our problem, isn't it? We live in an age where sometimes God's word is so readily available. I was sharing this at the Sunday school. I'm very touched by this preacher who often used this example, but it's really very true. Everywhere we go, we have God's word readily available for us. Some of us have multiple Bibles, right? Big one because eyes are growing dim, so I have a bigger one written. Last time you have smaller ones, some small ones, so that sometimes when you go out for picnic, you can bring along, right? So you have some small ones, and then you have study Bible, 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 just and some people are collectors of Bibles. I know one person who just collect Bibles, so many shelves of Bibles. So many Bibles. Okay, so you have written Bible, and then besides that, you also have electronic ones now. So everywhere you go, written Bible a few, handphone also have. Then now you also have iPad, what Galaxy Tab, whatever Tab and Pad, all you have. So you have Tab and Pad, handphone, wherever we go, there's no lack of God's word. But whether we really take God at His word is another thing. Firstly, when it comes to receiving it, what is our attitude? Is our attitude like that of Abraham? Yes, I obey. Or is it one that says, aha, aha? Oh, yeah? Oh, God is omnipotent. Oh, yeah? God is omniscient. Oh, yeah? God is able to provide for everything you need in your life. Oh, yeah? Oh, we may not say out, especially for children when it comes to Sunday school. Always give perfect answers. How are you saved? Oh, I'm saved through Jesus Christ. Every one of them can say, Are you born again? Everybody will say, I am born again. Whether it's something that is truly from the heart, another issue. And then comes to the test, obedience to God's word. Go into the workplace. Work on Sunday. I need you to work on Sunday. Every week, I will only give you one Sunday off. However, God's word says that must not work on Sunday. On Sunday, I am supposed to found in God's house. I'm supposed to keep the Lord's day holy. It's not a day for me to work. It's a day for me to remember Him and to worship Him in spirit and in truth. But then if I don't obey this master, which tells me I must work 3 Sundays out of 4, I will lose my job, you know. I will go hungry. I cannot feed my family. Compromise. This portion of God's word, never mind, just put it aside. Okay, so commandment number 1 to 10, erase commandment number 4. You don't tell people, but actually in your mind it's already erased. Okay, I will work on Sunday. Is that the faith of Abraham? No, Abraham just trusted God and just obeyed. Students in school, same thing, isn't it? We know that God's word says to keep ourselves pure and holy, abstain from all kinds of fleshly lusts. And then you come, you meet with some of your friends, and then they say, oh, come, let's go and watch this movie. Very nice, you know, this latest movie. Look at this actor, very handsome. Wow, you know, the hair very well groomed, and then look so macho, a lot of muscle, and then the face well sculptured. Wow, and then his acting skill very good, probably going to be the next Academy Award winner. Wow, everybody in the world is going to watch the show. And then look, the actress, wow, equally pretty, and then also can act, not just the flower was type one, flower was, and then also can act. Wow, very good, a perfect movie, everybody is going to watch. And then you know this movie, inside this movie contain themes that's to do with a lot of fornication, a lot of adultery, a lot of violence, maybe there is magic involved, and you know that this contrary to God's word, and you know that you shouldn't be going to watch all these shows, and then you go. Why? Because friends say so. If I don't go with my friends, I will lose all of them, and then I'll be so lonely, and then they will call me Holy Joe, Holy Joe. Female equivalent is what? Holy Jolene? I don't know. What happened to God's word? Cast it aside. That is not the faith of Abraham. Abram went all the way into Canaan, a land that was very hazardous. In verses 6 to 7, he finally came there. And God said, stay there. Stay there. He stayed there for 100 more years. Facing with all this kind of trouble and danger in the land. And he never got to see that great nation. God said, I will make of thee a great nation. He never got to see. All he saw was the birth of Isaac. And we know, based on the calculation from the age, he got to saw the birth of Esau and Jacob, probably for about 10 years. That's all he got to see. Oh, now I know Esau and Jacob. Jacob is the one through which the promised Messiah will come. After that, he died. He never got to see the nation of Israel. And yet, he believed. And the divine commentary of Abraham's faith is given to us in Hebrews 11. Let's just quickly turn there before we end. Hebrews chapter 11. And let us look at verse 8. And here it says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place where he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, right? Taking God at His word, he received the promise, he received the command, every word of it, and then he obeyed, and then he went out not knowing whither he went, which is exactly what we read. And by faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles. He was a sojourner. He did not dwell in the city. He could not mix with the people in the city, because once he mixed, no more nation of Israel, no more Messiah. For the sake of the salvation of the whole world, he must stay away from the city. Cannot have any mixed marriage with them. And so he dwelt in tabernacles, and then with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. So he looked for God's promise to be fulfilled. He believed that it would be fulfilled. Ultimately, he looked for heaven itself, that blessed city. This is the faith of Abraham. Do we have such a faith? We all must have, and we must all grow until we reach this level of faith. Is there anyone here who has not believed in the Lord Jesus Christ? You want to find salvation? This is the faith you must have in Him. The Lord Jesus Christ came into this world because of the sins of you and of me. He came as our substitute. He came to live for us, suffer for us, kept all the Ten Commandments perfectly for us. And then He died on the cross for us, shedding His precious blood, and then was buried. And on the third day, He rose again from the dead, so that we may find salvation. And God says, you want to find salvation? Simply take Christ as His word. Take God as His word. This is the way of salvation. And you take it and you follow this Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart. Salvation. And the same goes for all of us. Those of us who are born again, Scriptures tells us we walk by faith all throughout our life. That same principle of faith. Remember, Abraham didn't have 66 books. He just obeyed whatever God said. Now we are so privileged, we have 66 books given for us. Just follow this book. That is the life of a Christian. Taking God as His word. Receive His word. Obey His word. The two elements. Let us pray. Almighty God, our most gracious and loving Heavenly Father, how we thank Thee for the teaching of Thy holy word. We pray, Lord, that Thou would be very gracious towards us. Help us grow in our faith and in our trust towards Thee. And we pray for those who among us who have not known the Lord Jesus Christ, that today will be the day of salvation for them, that they may know and they may understand what it means to have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and to come to trust Him for their salvation. And so, Lord, we pray You will continue to guard our footsteps. Help us in all Thy ways to trust Thee, to simply take Thee at Thy word. This is our humble cry in Jesus' most blessed name. Amen.